Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome, and this second hour is an open hour. We had two really good interviews in hour number one, and a really good take by me off the top of the program about the return of Major League Baseball. So that's what you want in the first hour. Second hour is now open. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got some good things to get to. Now, I did mention last hour that something really unusual, something really unique, something really weird, something really bizarre, even for this show, happened 15 years ago today. Ordinarily, I wouldn't even know what that was. But that's why there is Stucknut, a.k.a. The Nut. The Nut is here to remind us of things like this. So when I mentioned that and I teased it and said I may or may not get to it, I got some reaction to that. At Mock Moda tweets, 15 years ago today, I'm kind of cranky and not in the mood for your guessing games, Rome. Just tell us. At CB34's Golf Swing tweets, damn, Jim is just cranking out interview after interview. At C Lead 914 tweets, 15 years ago today, crank,
crank, crank,
crank,
crank,
crank. 1-800-636-8686. I guess I better address it. The crank, elephant in the room. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to move on. That's like 15 years.
Crank.
15 years, crank. 15 years. Hey, you know, today's Wednesday, right? That's an ATP day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question. And remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Crank. 15 years is a really long time. A decade and a half. Most things that happened 15 years ago here, or anywhere for that matter, are not remembered. I mean, what's got the staying power of 15 years? Almost nothing. But I know this. Something that happened here 15 years ago will still be mentioned 15 years in the future from today. It happened 15 years ago, and it's still mentioned all the time. I guarantee, whether I'm here or not, it will still be mentioned 15 years from today. If I kick this show down to my kid, unlikely. If I kick this show down to anybody, whoever is sitting in this chair, if not me, and it might be me, it sure as hell might be me, they will still be talking. You will still be talking about what happened 15 years ago today. Now, just know this. The moment that I'm about to talk around, not talk about, not speak directly to, but talk around, just is not going anywhere. Because 15 years later, that moment is still right in my face.
Right in my face.
Something happened 15 years ago today. And that something is still right in my face.
Right in my face.
Now, I'm not going to give this guy the credit or the glory or mentioning him by mentioning him directly by name. I won't do that. I'm just going to call him Tobias. You know, like a short version of his government. Tobias. You see, 15 years ago, that phone call was made by Tobias in Houston. The phone call was so egregious, so shocking, so unexpected, so baffling, so unlikely, so weird. You know, all the things I say about Jeff in Southfield right now, except he's good. So, all right, it was funny. And it was well delivered. I got to admit, it was one of the rare phone calls that stopped me in my tracks. I mean, it was so out there, so bizarre, so stunning. It did shut me up for a few seconds when almost nothing does. It's like I got hit by a train and dragged. I couldn't even muster a response. It was that insane, that unlikely, that, for lack of a better phrase, in my face.
right in my face.
So that call has been reset for a decade and a half, thousands of times, almost every single day since. It's been regarded as the most important, most famous, most infamous, most hilarious call in the history of the jungle. Maybe in the history of sports talk radio. Maybe in the history of talk radio. Maybe in the history of the world. And really famous people got dragged down into it. Because what started to happen was when I tried to ignore it and try to make it go away, despite the fact that it was in my face every day.
Right in my face.
When social media started to grow and Twitter became a thing, clones started to tweet at guests before they came on the program to try to get them to ask me about Tobias and that call. And incredibly enough, some guests, even big name guests, played along. As an example, Kevin Durant. I don't know what's more surprising, that Kevin Durant was on this show, because he doesn't do a lot of media like that, or that Kevin Durant was on this show talking about Tobias, but he did back in 2010. Great to have you on. Thank you.
Hey, Jim, can you do me a favor?
You got it.
Can you say what's up to Toby in Houston for me?
Yo, Toby in Houston, what up?
All right, man. Appreciate that.
Do you know who that is, though, Kevin? Or somebody feed that to you?
Yeah, that's my man. I know who it is.
Who is it?
It's one of my guy's best friends.
All right, man. You're being straight, right? You know the story behind Toby, right?
Yeah.
What?
Say it again.
What's the story behind Toby?
Oh, that's Larry Brown's guy, right?
It's incredible. Not only did he do that, he started the interview with that. Hey, Kevin, great to have you. What's up? Hey, Jim, what's up? What's up with my guy, Toby? Like, and then he knew what it was. Yeah, every once in a while somebody says, like, somebody will book a guest, whether it's a FLAC or an SID or a PR rep, and say, hey, you tell Rome you want the karma. And they have no idea what the karma is. So I figured that was just Kevin Durant and Toby, but he had a little bit of background. He knew it was, quote, Larry Brown's guy. So he had some background, but not the background that my man Andrew Bogut had. He flat out dominated.
I'm supposed to shout out the guy that was talking about Larry Brown's crank, right? I got no crank stories for you, Jimmy, but I've heard everything about Toby Boy, so I'm supposed to shout him out, but I'm still thinking about whether I will or not.
Incredible. That's maybe 15 of the best seconds of the history of this show. He flat out referenced Larry Brown's crank. He called him Toby Boy. And he said he was still trying to decide whether or not he was going to shout him out after clearly shouting him out. That's Andrew Bogut. And I thought it would never get better than that until my main guy, Boomer Esiason, got loose.
Just so you know, I'm taking Toby for Houston out to dinner tonight.
Back in Friday, I do it all the time. One, I just decided to start cranking it up around here.
Jim, they're finally getting the offense all cranked up.
But you take a look at teams like Kansas City, Miami, and Minnesota, and then, you know, of course, our boys down in Houston along with Toby down there.
It's always a gas doing this with you every Friday. Something that I'll let Lance do for me. Nobody can crank it up like you can. And I'm sure your week was quite eventful this week with everything going on at SMU, I should say.
Boy, Boomer, that's amazing. I mean, normally you wait for a Larry Brown reference at the end of the segment.
I just wanted to crank it up for you. Jim, let's get this baby cranking. Baby, come on now.
All right, clones, see you later.
Boomer was clever. Boomer would just kind of like subtly insert crank references. He even did it on the NFL on CBS one day and I nearly fell out when it happened because I don't think anybody on that set at that time understood it or knew what he was doing other than me. But he talked about Christmas with the Cranks, which was absolutely amazing. New York Times bestselling author Ben Mezrich was still talking about it even this year.
I'm willing to believe, as crazy as that makes me sound, but there's lots of craziness going on in this world right now, Jim, as you know. And I'm just sitting here in my bunker with Toby from Houston, you know, hanging out, checking out.
How many clones hit you with that, Ben? All of them? 10 years later, I'm like just so over it. 15 years later, I should say. 10 years since Andrew Bogut and Kevin Durant were talking about it. It's still going on. You can hear it just like, I'm over it. Like, it wasn't even funny at that point. But Ben is so great with the clones. How even NFL Network's Jane Slater, we had never talked before, and I've been an admirer of her work, and she knew the jungle. Even she, when she finally did come on the program for the first time ever, even she brought it up a few months back.
Was the first guy that greeted me. And I had mentioned how much I love the Jim Rome show, and I sort of fangirled out when I found that he worked on your show. And when he told me the backstory that he was the screener that let that one go, oh my gosh, it literally was a signature moment in my sports career. It literally felt like everything had come full circle because I have listened to that over and over and over. I did sports talk in Dallas, so I legitimately felt for Jason that he allowed Toby to come and jump on your show. But shout out to Toby in Houston.
Jane Slater shouted out to Toby in Houston. She was talking about Jay Stu. Like, I don't play that call anymore. I said that I would never play that call ever again unless Larry Brown himself called this show and asked for the call. And that never happened. Now, I did reset it for Romageddon back in 2017. That was the last time I played it. So if you're looking for me to play it again today, not going to happen. I know so many of you want me to play it today because it has been 15 years. Not going to happen. Here's what I will say. In 2025, when this thing turns 20, if I'm still here, and I probably will be, because I've got no off-ramp. I don't want an off-ramp. In fact, if the smack-off was any indication, man, we're going strong now. We're getting bigger and better. We're not going the other way. So, in fact, I'm not going to say if. When I am here in 2025, wherever here is, when this thing turns 20, then we'll have that conversation. 15's a big number. It's a huge number. Crazy where time goes. 15's a big number, but it's not 20. Talk to me when we get to 20. I know this. Regardless of whether or not I play it, when it turns 20... It happened 15 years ago today. 15 years from today, it will still be a point of conversation. It will be. So happy anniversary, Tobias. Here's your reaction. Jeff in SoCal, Wednesday Crankfest on the Rome Show today. Nothing better. Happy 15, Tobias. At Lust Boy, happy Toboversary. At MTB Darren 1, War Toby in Houston and Larry Brown's crank. You got to understand about Larry Brown, too. I wish it had been anybody but, because he's always been one of my favorite guys. There was a time when I would have said that Larry Brown was my single favorite interview in the jungle. For years, he was my single favorite interview in the jungle. Fact. Because there was nobody like him. Way back in the day, just nobody would do interviews like Larry Brown. So I hated, like, of all the guys to be in that guy's face, why did it have to be Larry Brown? Like, literally any other coach.
Right in my face.
Any other coach. It would have been great. And he had to be attached to that. I love Larry Brown. I always have. At Crooklyn Bala. This guy's right. Can't believe it's been 15 years. Hashtag crank.
Crank.
Look at the lady clone. I got a lady clone
lady
in.
Lady clone.
She writes, what it do, baby?
What it do, baby?
Crank up the music.
Crank.
It's time to wish a very special caller in jungle history a happy 15th anniversary from all the clones. Happy Crankversary to Toby in Houston. Thanks, Nikki. We're stuck now putting odds on the over-under for the crank counter. And Nikki... Crank. Stop it. What it do, baby?
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Crank.
Crank.
Happy 15th anniversary. So what do you do for the 15th anniversary? What's the gift? Gold. Silver. Crystal. Flesh. A gym towel. A gym membership. Wow. 15 years. What's more amazing, 26 smack-offs or 15 years since Toby and Houston called? I said the only way I would ever play that call is if Larry Brown himself were to call and ask for it. But Left did get Larry Brown to be a part of his smack-off call.
Hello?
Hi, it's Larry Brown. Congratulations, Jim, on all the success, and I love the show. But you have to stop Frank calling me. I don't want the gym membership.
There you have it, Jimmy. Hang my towel on the rack.
That was pretty amazing. He got Larry Brown, and he got Larry Brown to say, quote, you have to stop Crank calling me.
But you have to stop Crank calling me.
All right, so there it is. I referenced the 15th anniversary of the most infamous call, arguably, in Jungle history. A call that everybody knows, including Kevin Durant, Andrew Bogut, Boomer Esiason, Ben Mezrich, Jane Slater, and more. When we come back, the LA Lakers are going to have to make do without Avery Bradley. I want to talk about his decision and what that means to them and what that means to J.R. Swish, potentially. We've all heard of Casper, you know, the sleep company with the outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices, from award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets. Casper transforms the way we sleep, one snooze at a time. And with their 4th of July sale, you can save on the coolest mattress for summer sleep right now, featuring Airscape technology. The original mattress provides the support and cooling that you need with the comfort you love. 4 layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Now with Airscape technology, air moves through and heat stays out so you can sleep cool all night long. So from bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed now, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And as always, free shipping and free returns. Get 10% off your entire order right now through July 13th with code KEEPCOOL. Code KEEPCOOL. Offer expires on June 13th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific. It excludes bundles, the Element mattress, and sale items. Limit one offer per customer and order. Please see Casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
All right, so you've had your fun. Now it's back to work. 1-800-636-8686. Give it a shot. I've got golfer Patrick Cantlay next hour. So we're wide open right now. I've got the Jim Rome podcast coming up later on today, episode 135. Eric Weddle joins me. So yesterday, the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Alabama released a joint statement from U.S. Attorney J.E. Towne and FBI Special Agent in Charge Johnny Sharp Jr. regarding the noose that was found in NASCAR's Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega Super Speedway. That statement read in part, quote, on Monday, 15 FBI special agents conducted numerous interviews regarding the situation at Talladega Super Speedway. After a thorough review of the facts and evidence surrounding this event, we have concluded that no federal crime was committed. The statement goes on, quote, the FBI learned that garage number 4, where the noose was found, was assigned to Bubba Wallace last week. The investigation also revealed evidence, including authentic video, confirmed by NASCAR, that the noose found in garage number 4 was in that garage as early as October 2019. Although the noose is now known to have been in garage number 4 in 2019, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned to garage number 4 last week. The statement goes on, quote, the decision not to pursue federal charges is proper after reviewing all available facts and all applicable federal laws. We offer our thanks to NASCAR, Mr. Wallace, and everyone who cooperated with this investigation. End quote. So, that's a somewhat surprising ending. There was a noose, but that noose had been there for about 8 months. So in that sense, it is a little confusing. Now, it was a noose, but it was not directed at Bubba Wallace, right? So the ultimate message of this sequence is that the lone black driver in Cup Series took a stand against the Confederate flag. The flag was banned. Some folks got upset. It looked like there had been a hate crime. His fellow drivers made a powerful statement in supporting him. There was a great race at Talladega. And then it turned out the thing that would have made it a hate crime was not new. And it had been there for as long as 8 months. Again, a little bit confusing. And a question. Why was a noose there? Why was the noose there in the first place? Why was it there for 8 months? But just because it was there for 8 months and wasn't specifically directed at Wallace does not cheapen the stand that Wallace has taken or the way the other drivers have supported him. But some people are losing their minds over it. Some people are wanting to make this into a hoax, like it was something that Wallace or his team cooked up, like it was an overreaction to just a garage door pull, or like there wasn't a noose at all. And then they continued to freak out when Bubba Wallace told Don Lemon on CNN last night that whether it was tied in 2019 or 2020, quote, it's a straight up noose, end quote. Bubba Wallace said that, quote, it's a straight up noose. And he's right. Listen to the statement from the U.S. attorney and the FBI special agent in charge. They used the word noose four times. If it wasn't a noose, they would not have used the word once, let alone four times. So, despite what some of you want to believe, the issue is not whether it was or was not a noose. It's when it was put there. According to their investigation, it had been there for months. So, it wasn't there for Wallace. Who was it there for? Why was it there? And how is a noose in a garage for that long without anybody noticing? How is it that that's not a thing that you would see and mention? And no, it's not a normal garage door pull as some of you are trying to make it out to be. As Ryan McGee reported, quote, rope pull downs are installed on the roller doors in every bay of the Talladega Super Speedway garage. According to NASCAR, every one of those pull downs was checked as part of the FBI investigation. And the only one of those fashioned into a noose was the rope in garage number 4, which was assigned to the Richard Petty Motorsports number 43 Chevy this past weekend. End quote. So, no, it's not just a normal knot that somebody tied in a garage door pull. It's a noose. The only garage door that a noose was connected to. The authorities are clear that it was a coincidence that the 43 team was assigned to that garage. And there would have been no way of tying the noose months ago in preparation for that team arriving there. All right? But this is not something that Bubba Wallace was in on. He wasn't the one who discovered it. And according to McGee, he didn't see it until NASCAR brought it to his attention. Quote, one member of the number 43 team found the noose, reported it to NASCAR security, and then took it to NASCAR president Steve Phelps and his executive team. McGee went on, quote, Wallace didn't even know about it until Phelps came to his motorhome Sunday evening to tell him what was happening. A conversation during which Wallace says the NASCAR president was in tears. End quote. So for all you conspiracy theorists, that should address the notion that Wallace was in on it. That should address the notion that it was just a normal rope pull down. The president of NASCAR would not be crying if that's what that was. Even though the FBI is through with its investigation, NASCAR is continuing one of its own. Obviously, NASCAR does not think this is some hoax or that Bubba Wallace did it or that his team did it. Their goal is to find out who did do it, who tied the rope into a noose back whenever they did it, and then find out why they did it. As a NASCAR official told ESPN.com, quote, there are a lot of ways to tie a rope. This was unquestionably a noose. So why? End quote. A great question. And again, why did nobody say anything about it until now? And don't say it's not a noose and that some way Wallace somehow had something to do with it, because both those assertions are garbage. And so is anybody else who's saying it. So this is not the end of it. Bubba made it very clear on CNN last night. This was not a rope pull down. This was a noose.
From the evidence that we have and that I have, it's a straight up noose. The FBI has stated it was a noose over and over again. NASCAR leadership has stated that it was a noose. I can confirm that. I actually got evidence of what was hanging in my garage, over my car, around my pit crew guys, to confirm that it was a noose. And never seen anything like it. It's not something. I talked to my crew chief about it. I said, is this something like, I wanted to make sure we weren't jumping the gun. And I said, this isn't a knot. This isn't just a regular old, what you call it? He's like, Bubba, this isn't something that can be done within a second of just tying a knot and being on the way. This is something that took time.
Quote, it's a straight up noose. Now, it might not have been directed for him, and it might have been there months before. The question is, when was it put there? Why was it put there? And why was nothing said until now? But no, it's a noose. And no, he didn't do it. It's not something he and his team cooked up. You know, for who? For what? It's absurd for somebody to say that. It's no hoax. It's a noose. The FBI said it was a noose. NASCAR said it was a noose. The FBI's done investigating it, but NASCAR's not. You wanted my take? That's my take. When we come back, I want to talk about the resumption of the NBA. Not everybody is going to be there, including LA Laker Avery Bradley. I want to get into what a tough decision that must be for him, how important he is to that team, and whether or not I think he's doing the right thing. That's coming up. But first, I have a sports update for you. Here is the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This Saturday, 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific, on CBS, women's soccer returns as the two-time defending champs North Carolina take on the Portland Thorns in the NWSL Challenge Cup on CBS and live stream on All Access. Keep that in mind. Hey, listen, now is the time to call. I've got open phones right now, 1-800-636-8686. All right, another topic for you. Yesterday, word broke that LA Laker Avery Bradley would not be participating in the resumed season in Orlando. He has been a co-leader of the Players Coalition that has sought to address issues of racial equality and social justice as part of the NBA restart. But according to my guy Woj, the decision not to play is about Bradley's family, more specifically his oldest son, 6-year-old Liam, who has a history of struggling to recover from respiratory illnesses and is unlikely to have been cleared to enter the Orlando bubble with his family. So Avery Bradley had a decision to make. He said, quote, as committed to my Laker teammates and the organization as I am, I ultimately play basketball for my family. And so at a time like this, I can't imagine making any decision that might put my family's health and well-being at even the slightest risk. As promised also, I will use this time away to focus on the formation of projects to help strengthen my communities. End quote. Man, that is a brutal, brutal decision to have to make. Absolutely soul-destroying to have to choose between your family and your team. And it's a reminder of what's being asked of all the players. It's not just about hanging out at Disney World and playing some basketball for a few weeks. It's an extended separation from your family. You know how badly Bradley would have wanted to stay with the Lakers and have a chance to win a ring this year. And he is a key player. He is key to their chances of winning it all. But he's obviously making the right decision. Family over team. Family over everything. But again, don't act like that's not a significant blow for the Lakers, because it is. But don't take it from me. Take it from Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson tweeted, quote, "The Lakers losing Avery Bradley is a tough loss and will make it more difficult for them to win the NBA championship," end quote. Boom! Mind blown. Man, I'm so glad that Irv quit on the Lakers. I'm so glad that Irv quit on the Lakers so he could get back to tweeting things like that. Welcome back, boss. Great tweet. Great insight. I mean, I'll say this. This time he is right. Not only is that a razor sharp, straight fire tweet, it is an accurate tweet. No lies detected. Bradley started 44 games this year. In that Sunday win over the Clippers, you might recall, right before the league stopped, he had 24, he had 6 threes, he had a pair of steals. In that game, he was right there with LeBron and Anthony Davis as among the reasons why the Lakers won that game. So if you're the Lakers and you lose a player of that magnitude, what do you do now? Where do you go to find somebody who can give you that spark on offense and who can play serious, committed defense like that? Maybe you try to make another run at Darren Collison. Maybe see if whether or not he's had any second thoughts about his retirement. Maybe you reach out to Iman Shumpert. Or maybe you kick the tires on Nick Young. Or maybe you go straight to the most logical answer of all time. Earl Joseph Smith III, a.k.a. J.R. Smith, a.k.a. J.R. Swish, a.k.a. So Right. And apparently, that's exactly what the Lakers are doing. Of course, according to Woj, J.R. Smith is a leading candidate to replace Bradley. Let's be clear about that. He's not going to replace Bradley. They do somewhat different things. But he is a leading candidate to be the guy who takes Bradley's roster spot. And how great would that be? Better than great. More like one of the best things ever. And not just because it's JR, and more JR is always a good thing. Not just that. Well, I mean, yeah, that. But because it opens up the possibility of a couple of things. Number one, have you thought about this? It sets up the possibility of a J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters backcourt at some point in the playoffs. Think about that for a minute. Waiters Island and the Henny God, who doesn't like Henny, in the purple and gold, in the postseason, with a really good look at the finals. Man, think about the power and the potential energy when those two get together. If those two are on the floor at the same time, in the same backcourt, to quote Kevin Garnett, anything is possible. And I mean anything. Go ahead. Run down your list of the all-time great backcourts. And play your stupid Mount Rushmore game if you want of backcourts. None of them are greater than J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters. So that's possibility number one. Also, there's another possibility that is opened up if they do bring in Swish. A Lakers championship parade with a shirtless J.R. Smith. Nobody knows how to celebrate an NBA title the way J.R. Smith celebrates an NBA title. It used to be that Meta was the best guy ever to celebrate a championship because he never took his jersey off. J.R. Smith took his shirt off and never put it back on. When Cleveland won 4 years ago, he went roughly 4 years without a shirt. In fact, there was a point where I thought, I wonder if this guy even owns a shirt. It was so noticeable that President Obama told Ty Lue to get JR to put a shirt back on.
All right, man.
Okay.
Congratulations again. All right, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President.
Tell JR and everybody to put on a shirt, though.
Okay, I will. I definitely will.
You can't be just walking around without a shirt for the last week.
Okay, I definitely will.
A whole week. Not Shumpert taking off his shirt.
Yeah.
Reed taking off his shirt. Come on, man. But I guess if you built like that, you know.
Yeah. I guess if you're in decent shape, you can do it.
That's it. All right. Take care now.
All right, thank you.
That's a great exchange. If you're built like that, I guess. I mean, if I was shredded like that, I wouldn't wear a shirt either. But then imagine them winning. Imagine them winning and Squish taking off that shirt. And then imagine that going down on Figueroa. And then imagine it going up Wilshire. And then going down Santa Monica. And then west on the 10. And then east on the 10. And then north and south on the 405. And then onto the PCH. Imagine that. Because the Henny God, who doesn't like Henny, won't stop. And if the Lakers do win a title and he's on that roster, you know that parade won't stop. That parade will run from the end of the season to the start of next season. He'll be hitting every freeway, every highway, every surface street. He'll even be shirtless on the 42, the 55, and the 73. Every toll road, every free road, every coastal road, every side street, every cul-de-sac, everything. He'll be going henny-free and shirt-free on the 29 Palms Highway and Venice Boulevard. You know me, I don't root, except for J.R. Smith, to be on the Lakers. I'll root for that. Avery Bradley is doing the right thing by staying with his family, period. Now the Lakers have to do the right thing by bringing in J.R. Smith. It would just be so right. It is J.R. Swish, the Henny God who never liked Henny to begin with. Do the right thing.
Drink Henny, bro.
Avery is. Wait, you don't like Henny?
I don't even drink Henny, bro. I don't.
Wait.
I got some, you I don't got drink some Honey Jack in there, though.
That's
you don't
good.
Drink Henny? Jack.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm going to back that up. This is an amazing exchange. The Henny God. We all assumed he's the Henny God. He's like, you can tell he's weary of it. Like, I don't even drink Henny, bro.
I don't even drink Henny, bro. I don't.
Wait.
I got some, you I don't got drink some Honey Jack in there, though.
I you don't drink
Honey
Henny?
Jack. No. It's not my bro.
Well, everyone's ran off with thinking it ain't
like the way Henny, it tastes, bro.
You hate Henny?
I hate that shit, for real.
That was what a one day thing.
Nah, I never drank it before though. Even before that, the funny thing is the picture that everybody talks about with me drinking Henny. It's a champagne bottle. Yeah. So I don't even know why, how that even came about. But you know, it's whatever.
We setting the record straight. J.R. Smith and Henny, they don't go together.
It's actually pretty awesome. I mean, awesomely disappointing. But pretty awesome. He's like, you can tell he's like disdainful almost. Like, dude, I don't drink Henny, bro. I hate Henny. Now, while he's doing this, he's drinking something. You can hear him. He's talking about, yeah, man, I got something in Jack. It's just not Henny. I hate Henny, bro. I don't drink Henny, bro. So, the Henny God who doesn't like Henny. Whatever. That can be forgiven. The Lakers having a chance to bring this guy in and not doing it would not be forgiven. Not by me. Not by me. And on a serious note, this is some of the decisions the players have to make. Avery Bradley's got a tough decision to make. As far as that soundbite, credit the TV, the Warzone, Twitch TV. What a great exchange. Again, man, I hate that that's true, but that apparently is true. Let's get to the phones quickly. We go to Tampa. Tim in Tampa. Good to have you, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, James? First time, long time.
I'm doing great, too. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to wish you a happy crankiversary, and it got me thinking about a story from back in high school. You may not know this, not many people will, that I actually went to high school in Vegas. And Cal was one of my classmates. We had a science class together. And one of these days in biology, we were actually looking through the microscope And I was looking real carefully, and I wouldn't believe it, but not 4 inches from my face was Callan Vegas' crank.
Ah!
That's not a good color. No.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good color.
If you're going to come up in here and try to reference the famous, quote, Tobias call, don't. Don't. Nothing will ever measure up to that crank call. Especially your attempt right there, Tim. It's going to end badly. Don't even try. You know how good you have to be to try to speak to or play off of or reference Toby in Houston? I mean, that's only for the pros. Don't even try. You know what's going to happen if you try and do something like that? It's going to explode right in your face.
Right in my face.
In other words, it's a really bad idea. It's like holding a grenade up and having it blow up right in your face.
Right in my face.
In hour number three, a conversation with Patrick Cantlay, PGA Tour Pro. And more. More quality content from me. Hopefully better content from you. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on social. And we will come right back. Third hour straight ahead. I'm Jim Rome. You are in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.